Hello and welcome, Connie Reagan Green from HugeProfitsTinyList.com with another call in the podcast series. Today I'm very excited to have someone here with me that I highly, highly respect. I've known him for a number of years and I'm so thrilled that he has agreed to come and have a conversation with me so that all of you can learn more about him. Welcome, Michael Fortin.
Thank you, Connie.
Oh, you're welcome. Now, Michael, I'm used to calling you Michael, but it's really Michelle, right?
Yeah, well, my real name is Michelle, but my French-speaking mother all my life called me Michael as a nickname. So I'm used to Michael, but I kind of wanted to use my own name when I first started out in business, but most American English speakers will say, well, that's a girl's name. So I decided to just use Michael from this point on, and it just avoids all the confusion.
Okay. All right. Well, you and I were first connected way back, I guess when I first got started, 2006, 2007. I had heard of you. You already had done such amazing, amazing things. Then we ended up in a mastermind in Armin Morin's Platinum Group, and we were there for about 5 years, you along with Sylvie. And let's talk a little bit about that, how we got connected there.
Well, I've been online for a long, long time. I've been on the internet since 1992, but I officially had my first website in 97. And when I started, I was a copywriter, and I specialized especially with cosmetic surgeons. And I was a copywriter for doctors, and my company was called Success Doctor at the time. But I never went to seminars. I never joined any mastermind groups. I was really just working in front of my computer at my home in little hometown of Ottawa, Canada. And then I think it was the very first seminar I went to, somebody on stage pointed out and said, that's the guy who does my copy. And then I said, okay, well, I have to come back to these seminars. And I started to join mastermind groups, and more seminars came around. And then I joined, I met Armin. We both spoke at the same seminar. And then he asked me to speak at the big seminar at that time. And one thing led to another, and then I became part of this mastermind group that we reconnected. And I guess I remember we were doing website critiques, and I was doing some of your copy, and we were talking about some of your branding elements, and we just became, I guess, good friends since then.
We did. And I have to say, when you and Sylvie is your late wife that I love so, so much, and when the two of you were there at the first meeting, and it was in Chicago, so I guess that was 2009 in Chicago, I have to say I was so, so intimidated, and I was reluctant to share. And once I did, and then really heard what the two of you had to say, I thought, boy, this is really tougher than I thought. I can't hide here. I can't pretend here. I have to be as real as I can be, or else I'm not going to get any value. There's no use in me coming. And that was the beginning of me really opening up, being able to kind of peel a vein and be vulnerable and say, yes, this is what I'm doing. This works, but this part does not work. And you were so, so helpful with that.
You're welcome. Hey, Sylvie was, my late wife who took care of customer support for a lot of the same clients that I did copy for. That's how we met, by the way.
Oh, okay.
I hired her company, and then she realized a lot of the clients that I was doing copy for, she goes, hey, I do customer support for all these guys. So that's how we met, and Sylvie had a great handle on the front end branding elements, where I had a good handle on, copywriting, salesmanship, and also marketing. I guess we were both really entrenched in the whole marketing scene, internet marketing, but also marketing as a general thing. In fact, I taught marketing at Algonquin College, a local college here in Ottawa, Canada. And since Sylvie had breast cancer, and unfortunately she passed in March, and I took over the realms of the helm of the of her customer support service, which is workaholicsforhire.com, and that sort of is my main business now, because it is overwhelmingly busy, and I only want to write copy for just a handful of people. So when you got my advice for your website, that was one of the few rare moments that I've done some copy work, because from now on I'm not going to really do any more copy for clients. But the customer support side of things is booming right now. And Sylvie is, as you were mentioning earlier, Sylvie has a great handle on marketing, and it was we were glad that we were there to help, because trust me, It's kind of funny because they say that the cobbler's kids have no shoes.
Yes.
Well, we know great marketing, but we have sometimes a bit of a hard time doing our own. So it's our pleasure to learn through doing other people's marketing as well, and not learning in the sense of marketing, but learning in the sense of, well, we got to do this ourselves too. So
yes,
yeah,
yes, and I'd heard you talk about that before, Michael, and I do that now with my own students, where
absolutely,
I learn so much by working with them. But I do remember in Atlanta, I had won an affiliate contest for Armin, and you were part of the prize. And we spent that long, long day. I think we were in there about 18 hours in the hotel in Atlanta. Do you remember that?
Oh, and just ripping apart your business. And
yeah.
That was fun.
It was so much fun. It was painful yet exhilarating.
Well, exactly. And the thing is, too, is I think a lot of people don't understand is, and this is what you just said. I think one time when I started doing the speaking circuit, I was taking a course on how to speak publicly. And the first thing that I've learned in the business of speaking, and it's something I never really pursued, but I've learned this. My mentor at the time told me, you'll never be able to sell yourself better than a third party. Somebody will always be able to sell you better than you can sell yourself for a number of reasons. It's not just like the fact that we know a little bit less market for ourselves. We do. It's just that we are very critical. We are self-critical. We also don't look at it from the perspective of our own clients. We do that with marketing. We do that with copywriting, and especially with customer support. A lot of people don't even go through their own websites to understand the flow, the process, the ordering process that people go through when they order product. You don't understand why they get all these refunds or complaints and so on and so forth. So the chance that you got having us, you know, rip apart your business
mm-hmm.
is such a great – it's a great – gift, I guess you can say, because I will always have, I mean, there's something Mark Joyner told me. Mark Joyner, a very famous marketer, told me a long time ago. He says, I'd be a damned fool if I didn't listen to advice that helped me make more money.
Yes.
And I think that is sort of the concept that I've taken on. And also what I do right now with Workaholics, when people hire us to do their customer support, they say, you know, either they're overwhelmed or they say, well, I just want somebody else to handle it because we can help reduce refunds, we can solve complaints. At the same time, we can process information requests, but also sell for the client. And it's a really hard thing to do sometimes. It's like letting go of your baby. When you were put under the spotlight, Connie, you were probably, you know, you said it was a painful process because that was your baby at the time, and it still is.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really hard to hear other people rip it apart and you go, I thought this was going to work. I thought this is, you know, or I thought this was what I wanted, and now I know I got to change all this. And so it's a hard process, but it can become the door that opens to, I hate to say that, but millions of dollars. And
yes.
I'll end with this. And the reason why I can say that with confidence is because a lot of clients that have approached us have become millionaires over time. Because of the fact that they decide to take that first leap and open up themselves and receive that type of help. And lucky for them and lucky hopefully for you, because I know that you're doing very well and I'm very happy for you.
Yes, yes. And, you know, for me, I become very defensive. That's just how I am in every area of my life. I become very defensive, but I very quickly let go of that. I can let go of that in minutes, instead of in some longer span of time. And once I let go of that, then it's just kind of, you know, we're stripped down naked in front of people that can really change our lives, help our bottom line, do so much for us for that day and for in the future. I mean, because that's been, 6 years since we
mm-hmm.
did that. I guess almost
yeah.
exactly. It was the fall of 2009, I believe that's when it was. So it's been many
time
years.
Flies.
Time
oh,
really,
my.
Really flies, but, you know, going through that process definitely, you know, made me come out a better person on the other end. So thanks once again.
Good.
All right. Well, let's talk about how did you get started. Let's go way back. How did you get started with writing and copywriting and sales? And tell us more about that.
Sure. Well, initially, whenever I first started out, I was a salesperson. And I did, you know, really terrible at it. I was a very young man. I had a family. I married somebody who already had a child at the time, who I later adopted. And I was 20 years old, and I was on a strict commission. And the reason why I was on strict commission was because I really wanted to do sales. I really wanted to. I had this fear of rejection, and I hated knocking on doors. And naturally, that didn't work well because trying to fight the fear of rejection by diving into sales because I wanted to hit that fear head on, it really didn't work well to the point where I had to declare bankruptcy at a very young age because I was in debt over my head trying to, I was buying groceries with 12 credit cards. And it was just painful, painful process for me. But then I became the number one sales rep for the company that I was working for, a Fortune 500 company, in Canada, all of Canada, for 8 months in a row. And the reason I did that is because I discovered something that was, at that time, I didn't know it was copywriting. But what I did was I wrote lead generation sales letters, and I would mail them to clients. So rather than knocking on doors and, quote, unquote, prospecting and trying to get people to say, okay, I want to hear you, which was one out of, 100, to me at the time, anyways, it was, because I was scared. Now I can write letters to get, so that people, when they call me, they would book an appointment, they were already pre-sold. And that made me the top salesman that I became. And I realized, wow, there's something to this writing sales letters thing. So I became an employee of a salesperson, a consultant, for a hair transplant surgeon. Yes, this hair transplant surgeon actually hired salespeople to help him deal with front-end, first point of contact patients. And then he would then, deal with the actual medical process after that. But what happened was I became a copywriter for this guy. I started writing all of his ads. I started writing his full-page ads. I started writing his infomercial scripts because he had half-hour infomercials running in the middle of the night, which many of them are still running to this day, which is kind of amazing to me. But what happened was once I left that company to grow, I said, okay, I love this whole doctor thing. So I decided to incorporate as the success doctor because I helped doctors become successful. And I became a copywriter writing copy for chiropractors, cosmetics, dentists. Then I ventured out into professional services like lawyers and accountants. And then I just, I became more of a service provider type of copywriter. I preferred that more than actual retail products, although I did some and I have done some many, many times. But that's how I exploded. And eventually I dove into the whole internet marketing, consulting, coaching, internet marketing services field, which later on led me to meet Sylvie and then take over the customer support side. So,
okay, excellent. So in a way, you specialized pretty quickly, and perhaps
yes,
that made a huge difference?
Well, that's it. I mean, it's kind of funny because I wrote a mini report at the time, which was basically my resume. It's a resume in disguise, but it's called the 10 Commandments of Power Positioning. I was a big fan of positioning at that time, and I still am. But I also like to – and it was great because, you see, what happens is – let me just back up a couple of steps. Doctors hate to be marketed to, and doctors hate marketing because doctors are doctors. There are there are people who love their craft. They're great medical scientists, but they're not really good entrepreneurs. Some of them have an entrepreneur mind, which is why they hired me, but they don't have a good idea of what marketing is all about. So if I told them in a report the 10 commandments of how to sell more patients, sometimes that would be a bit more, especially for Canadian doctors, because remember, I'm in Ottawa, Canada, and the laws are a little bit stricter than the United States. In the United States, most American doctors have a bit more leverage and leeway when it comes to laws. But in Canada, it's quite strict. So you have to be very, very careful. Like, for example, we're not even allowed to have testimonials from doctors because it's an endorsement. It's considered an endorsement, and doctors aren't allowed to do that. So the way around that was to position – I call it positioning. I help doctors become better positioned so they can attract. Again, coming back to my whole lead generation copywriting mindset from my initial exploits in the insurance business where I was a salesman, I started to help them – generate leads. I start to help them attract clients so that they don't have to go out there and market. And a lot of doctors love that. So this little book, Ten Commandments of Power Positioning, talks about the 10, my 10 most favorite ways of marketing yourself. And one of them is what you just mentioned, Connie, is specialization. There's always going to be less, you know, more is less, or less is more, actually, where you focus on a particular niche or in a particular industry, a particular type of client. It doesn't matter. And a lot of people are very scared of that because they think, oh, I need money right now. It's like, oh, I got to make as many sales as I possibly can, especially when you're starting up your business. You're, like, desperate to make that first dollar. So you're going to have to cater to everyone. But you can't be everything to everyone. It's impossible. The more generic you are in your message, the more people will look at your message and say, this guy's not for me. Now, a lot of people say, well, I'm going to cut my market in half or my chances of making sales in half, and that's absolutely wrong. Would you rather sell 10% of a small group of people or zero of a large million of people, you know?
Yeah.
So it's a question of start with the niche. If you want, create multiple messages, multiple businesses, multiple markets, and go after each one. It's called market segmentation. There's something very many marketers do, but that's a lot of work for you at the beginning. Start with one, and you'll see you'll explode just from doing that, and it'll just naturally expand, and you'll see that there's an opportunity for you to go to other markets and then, you know, create more businesses that way. So anyway, to answer your question, absolutely, specialization or to focus on a niche, to narrow your focus, as I say in my 10 Commandments report, narrow your focus, and you will attract clients that create.
Yes, because the way that you're describing that, it makes so much sense, and it's exactly the path that most of us go down. And, you know, with me, I specialized in the very beginning with ebooks. I was helping people because I thought, you know, I can't go into internet marketing. I don't have the experience. I don't have a track record. I haven't done anything. I was doing some affiliate marketing. And I went to people who were close to me, so some friends and family members, and I said, when you think of me, what do you think of? You know, what do I do well that I could do for someone else? And they laughed, and I thought, oh, no, I don't do anything well. And they said, well, silly you. They said, you know, you help us when we don't even buy a computer without talking to you. And sometimes you're you know, almost sound asleep, and you'll say, yeah, go over in Microsoft Word, go to File, go down to Print, or go down to Save As. You know, I was able to do this in my sleep. So I said, okay, so I help you a little bit with some computer programs and in choosing a computer. I said, what else? And they said, well, anytime we have to write anything, you're always helping us rewrite it and edit it so it comes out well. And I thought,
exactly.
Okay, so how could I put this together? And I thought, well, I could help people write and publish their ebooks, because back then we did it on websites. And I did that for almost 2 years before. So it was before I met you and before I had jumped into internet marketing. And I had that little specialization.
Right. I mean, there's a reason why doctors specialize in stuff. I mean, a general practitioner, that won't, you know, operate on your brain. You're not a brain surgeon. Can you imagine if you actually hired somebody to operate on your brain or on your heart that's just a GP that's been, you know, being just a medical, and GPs are mostly just medical advisors for 20, 30 years. They never really did any operations. And, oh, I dabble in it. It's on my resume because it's something I did in medical school way back when. You know,
yes.
That's how people approach businesses. And it's sad, but that's the wrong approach. There's an old saying that says, you know, being a jack of all trades but a master of none, you might as well be a jack of some trades and master of one.
Yes.
It's
yes.
So much better that way. And you'll see your business explode if you do that. And sometimes it might not be the right niche, because a lot of people will say, oh, well, I focus my niche, but I'm not getting any business. You know, there's a couple of things that you need to keep in mind. Not necessarily all niches are profitable. So it's best to do a bit of research. Now, you can focus on the thing that you love to do, but sometimes something that you love to do might not necessarily be the one that actually makes people want to buy your services. So be careful. Just make sure that you're going after a niche, not a large niche. Don't look at the size. Look at the profitability factor. And if you have people who actually are willing to pay money in that niche, people who are willing to actually seek out specialists, you know, being a specialist rather than being a generalist, then go after it. By all means, just dive in full, you know, head first. You'll be able to swim really well. So that would be my advice.
Wonderful, wonderful. Okay, the last thing I want to talk about with you, Michael, is there's a letter, and you'll know what this is. This is a letter that was written long, long ago, and it was to help raise money for something with young people. and they gave the example, and it's this beautifully written letter, and I got a copy of it years back, and I've used something, I don't have that letter anymore, so I can't remember where it came from, but I've used something similar to help a variety of nonprofits to raise money. It's where you really appeal to the people's, you know, just their compassion, their empathy for this, like with this was young people that needed a chance to go on to college or something. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I can't remember the exact letter, but I think I know what you mean. And you know what? That was sort of narrowing your focus in a sense too, because basically the letter talked about a specific situation that people can actually appeal to. There's a human interest element, of course, but at the same time, people felt for this person. So it's I'm not sure if that's the letter you're talking about.
Yeah, it's just it was. I don't know if it came from like the Collier Book of Letters or what it was.
Oh yeah, yeah. It's escaping my mind. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Okay, because it was so powerful when I read it. Because the one they got 100% return on that letter. Everybody responded, and with the nonprofit.
The Tale of Two Young Men.
Yes, yes, that's it.
Well, now
I'm getting goosebumps.
Wall Street Journal. It was basically the Tale of the Two Young Men, where two men graduate from college or law school. I can't remember what it was.
Mm-hmm.
And one basically is still a fledgling lawyer. The other one basically is now a multimillionaire, very prosperous, very profitable, doing well-to-do. And the only difference is that the second person was subscribed to the Wall Street Journal or the Financial Times. I can't remember what it was, but that's the letter. It's called The Tale of Two Young Men.
Very powerful.
It just hit me now. So yeah, and the stories were exactly that. The stories were, and the reason why that letter was powerful is because you talked about, you know, scenario A, where a lot of people will actually feel some kind of I can identify myself with this particular person because that's exactly what I've done. And then the scenario B, which is basically, well, this is what you need to do in order to get to where you want to go. So it was powerful because, in a sense, it was telling a story, but at the same time telling people this is what you're missing out on, this is where you can be if you just do this one little thing, subscribe to the Wall Street Journal, whatever that is.
Yes. So I think the power of storytelling continues to be so much.
Always. Oh, yes.
Yes. All right, well, if people are just getting started, if they feel like they really can't afford to hire a copywriter right out of the gate, and they're just trying to get some basic copy written, what kind of, you know, advice could you give them how to get started, or what should they do instead?
Well, for copywriting, I always say this. The best way to write your best copy is find your best customer. And if that customer is also very happy and very enthusiastic and very emotional and very passionate, record them try to sell you or try to sell somebody else on your product or service. Just get that recording and then basically transcribe that recording, and you will have your copy practically written for you. It's something that I still do to this day. When I write copy for a client, I'll ask my client for some of the names and phone numbers of some of their happiest clients. And I'll contact them, ask for their permission to record the conversation. I say, I won't use your name. I just need to use your words so I can actually mold it into a story that we can use in our marketing materials without any identifying information. So basically, then I start asking them questions. I start prodding them. And they may not necessarily be that excited, but you can sort of hear some of the hot buttons in your voice, and then you can start pressing those hot buttons. Oh, you lost weight with this particular product? Oh, great. And how did it feel whenever you were, you know, not losing weight before on other programs? Oh, good. And what did this program do? And was it good for you? How did you feel after? And then you ask these questions, that passion comes out. You record the conversation. You get the conversation transcribed. And now you can use that in your marketing materials. But to answer your question, how to learn how to write copy, well, learning is, I think that copy very often is formulaic, and we can use formulas to follow. I use tons of them, but they're just guideposts. Copy really is from the gut. It really is a process of going by the story, going by the feel, and especially going by what the market wants. So connecting with your reader, it's all about connection. So if you can do more market research, find out more about your market, you'll be able to connect with your market better. Go for it. Learn how to sell. You'll learn how to write copy, because copy is just basically a written form of salesmanship. And then if you want, there's tons of books out there. I mean, you mentioned one. The Robert Collier Letter Book is one. Claude Hopkins, Scientific Advertising is another. And I think the third that I really, really like is Breakthrough Advertising by Eugene Schwartz. Read those books. And I think, finally, just go and start writing sales letters. Like, if you have a hand on some top sales letters that you know have converted really well, this is a Gary Halbert trick that I don't do the Gary Halbert style, which is writing it by pen or by hand. I'm a keyboard guy. But rewrite those sales letters word for word on your keyboard. And it just, there's something that connects when you start doing that and you start to understand the mindset, the flow of ideas that go on the paper that'll help you understand what copywriting is all about. And I want to say, and finally with this, copying, there's like a lot of basic stuff, but a lot of the quote unquote mastery stuff, that changes all the time. I say that because copy is evolving. You know, the media is evolving. We have videos now. We have, you know, parallax websites with fly-in copy. Something I actually predicted back in 2006 with a report called "The Death of the Sales Letter." And I wasn't saying that sales letters were dead. I just saying they were evolving. They were changing formats, and we're seeing that today. So don't rely so much on all the intricacies of how to put copy together and all that. That can be done later on, or that can be done by just learning what connects with your market better. But at the beginning, learn the basics. That's really the most fundamental thing that you can do, no pun intended. Learn how to sell. Learn how to express words on the paper that will help connect with your market, and then get your market to do something, which is to either click, buy, phone, call, email, whatever the case is.
Excellent, excellent. Thank you so much. Michael, where is the best place for people to reach you at?
CustomerSalesAndSupport.com is my main focus right now, which is customer support for Workaholics for Hire, which is my main business now. I don't write copy anymore for clients. I handle customer support. I do offer sometimes critiques if people just want me to take a look at their copy and give them a bit of an idea of what they can do to improve, but that would be the best place would be to connect. And CustomerSalesAndSupport.com is just basically a redirect to WorkAholicsForHire.com, but to a special landing page that describes the customer support services.
All right, excellent. Thank you so, so much for being my guest today.
Hey, you're welcome.
Again, this is Connie Reagan Green from HugeProfitsTinyList.com with another call in the podcast series. Be sure to check out everything Michael is doing and subscribe to the podcast so that you can hear all of the calls. Take care. Bye-bye.